Kairos Aerospace said in a phone interview. The company, which had two airplanes flying monitoring equipment over the Permian, now has four planes in the air and plans to have six airborne within the next month. Quote, "We've had a massive impact," Diker said. "In 2019, our customers fixed leaks that prevented 3.9 billion cubic feet of methane emissions. That's the equivalent of 425,000 cars off the road. I look at it as Tesla made 370,000 cars last year, so our oil and gas operators had more of an impact than Tesla," end quote. Kairos, which numbers ExxonMobil and Pioneer Natural Resources among its customer base, said operators have been pushing hard to monitor emissions and take action to prevent those emissions. The company has just announced an initiative with DCP Midstream, in which Kairos will provide its airborne methane monitoring and data analytics to survey DCP's portfolio of natural gas assets in Texas, New Mexico, and Colorado, the largest geographic footprint undertaken by an industry-led initiative. The surveys will be conducted at least twice a year. Diker said his company had been working with DCP for the last 2 years. The company just finished its first survey and is getting ready for a second round. Quote, "We're always concerned about methane emissions and looking for new ways to manage our system and evaluating our systems to ensure there are no leaks," Bill Johnson, Chief Transformation Officer at DCP, said in a phone interview. With more than 15,000 miles of pipe in the Permian Basin, he said the company wants to make sure the natural gas it gathers remains in the pipe and that the pipe is in good shape. Quote, "This is a way to use new technology and do it more frequently and efficiently and cost-effectively," he said. The advanced technology will also allow the company to put its people who would normally travel the pipeline right away to look for leaks and assess the conditions of the pipe to better use fixing issues identified by the surveys. Kairos's planes can cover quarter-mile or half-mile wide sections, which lets DCP cover a lot of ground more quickly and more frequently. Quote, "We think this is the right way to look at our system, look for leaks, and make sure we're on top of things and don't have emissions we don't want," he said. "This is above and beyond normal compliance, but it's the right thing to do," end quote. Diker said he hopes the initiative with DCP will inspire other midstream companies to undertake similar efforts and take advantage of the data available from Kairos's surveys to detect, quantify, and reduce their methane emissions. Quote, "With just a few repairs, we can impact methane emissions quickly," he said. Private equity firms focus on what they can control. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Learning to control what can be controlled may be the biggest lesson learned by those in the energy industry this year. Quote, "There's a lot in the business environment and in life in general that's out of everybody's control," said David Hayes, partner in Natural Gas Partners, a private equity firm. Participating in a weekly Oil Field Strong webinar, Hayes said one of the things that could be controlled is cost. Quote, "Cost. Focus on cost in the field, in the office. We rebid a lot of services and technologies, worked with other vendors to try to streamline our costs, and we had to do consolidation to further minimize costs," he said. As the pandemic began to spread and oil demand plunged alongside oil prices, Hayes said his company shut down rig activity very quickly and ultimately shut in a lot of production. His company was also able to selectively modify hedges and eliminate existing debt in certain circumstances where it made sense. Quote, we also communicated with banks. Banks have enough problems going through the COVID-19 pandemic that were exacerbated by the oil situation, he said. Our communication was that we were responding rapidly to changing dynamics. Our communication was, you have problems, we're not one of them. That's an important part of the relationship, not being a problem borrower, end quote. He said Natural Gas Partners also supported the call by Parsley Energy and Pioneer Natural Resources for the Railroad Commission to implement statewide production cuts as an acknowledgement we had to do something on the supply side and quickly because demand had eroded literally overnight, end quote. Though oil prices have recovered to the $40 level, Hayes said, quote, there's not a lot of development that makes sense at that price level. That price level brings the requirement to be lean to weather the storm until macroeconomics improve enough and we can really get back to developing resources in earnest, end quote. Hayes said private equity companies such as his have far less capital, quote, at least as it relates to unconventional hydrocarbons. Capital would decrease significantly, possibly by as much as half, and the number of firms will fall by a like amount, if not more. There will be survivors, and we plan to be one of those, end quote. With less capital available, at least for the immediate future, Hayes advised companies to focus on performance. Quote, this industry broadly hasn't performed, he said. We may have performed better than average for the industry, but still have not been wildly compelling returns when you look at the alternatives people have. You could have invested in McDonald's these last 10 years and earned a much better return than anything in the oil and gas world, end quote. Another barrier, Hayes said, is the narrative, especially on both coasts, that oil and gas use is going to zero. Quote, that's a false narrative, but it does drive the attention of investors, potential private and public investors in energy. They may wonder, why am I bothering when you guys will be going away and everyone's driving a Tesla? It does drive behavior short term, he said. The way to regain investor attention, Hayes said, is to generate returns that offer a sense of compelling growth. That means sticking with fundamentals, gathering assets in whatever form that play into those fundamentals, making compelling reinvestments diligently, thoroughly reinvesting funds, having aggressive hedging, focusing on costs, all things that can generate returns, end quote, and are good business practices for all of us. That will be the general framework where capital will be available, end quote. When activity does return, Hayes said operators may still be doing horizontal drilling in unconventional reservoirs, but will be focused on development with fewer companies venturing out into lesser-known areas. Quote, the capital will go where the returns are undeniable, Hayes said. In southeast New Mexico, there's some first-class rock there. Why go drill in southern Pecos County or central Pecos County where you know where the resource is, but you're not being rewarded? And you try to step out and prove a wolf camp bench or anything else. It's not what you need to do. We will be drilling wells again when oil is back in probably the $50 range. It will be unconventional and it will be horizontal, but it will be much more development-focused. Anything with even a whiff of exploration is not a near-term focus for capital, public or private, end quote. The webinar was presented by Grant Schwartz-Welder, president and owner of OTA Compression LLC, OTA Environmental, and Kimark, and the Permian Basin Petroleum Association. Study. Permian's economics will help weather downturn. The story was written by Mella McEwen. There is no question operators active in the Permian Basin are facing a difficult economic environment. But a recent report by Mercer Capital finds the nation's most prolific basin should fare better than other producing regions because of its economics. The Permian is still one of the focus areas for the supermajors ExxonMobil and Chevron, and well-capitalized independents such as Concho Resources, Diamondback Energy, Parsley Energy, and Pioneer Natural Resources, said Alex Berry, vice president at Mercer Capital. As the industry weathers the current economic downturn, quote, I think you will see some consolidation of companies in the basin, but probably less than people think, and certainly less than is warranted, Berry told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, a lot of management teams don't want to give up their jobs if they don't have to do so. Drilling activity has declined, and activity going forward will be focused on the most economic areas, end quote. He said the Permian Basin rig count as of June 26th was down 70% from the previous year. While significant, he said the decline was less severe than reductions seen in the Bakken, 82%, and the Eagle Ford, 85%. Berry said this may be the bottom of the rig count decline as companies begin to bring production back online. He said, quote, significantly lower exploration and production capital expenditure budgets will likely keep a lid on the rig count in the near term, end quote. Asked about the impact on energy supplies as production in the Permian slows, he said, quote, the Permian has a tremendous amount of resource in the ground, so this isn't as much of a supply issue as it is a demand issue. Once demand pushes commodity prices to levels where further development makes sense, you'll see a pickup in production, end quote. Barry said the Permian is seeing gains in new well production per rig up 2% year over year through June. This compares to a decline of 42% in the Bakken and gains of 12% in the Eagle Ford and 6% in Appalachia. He said this signals the increasing efficiency of operators in the area. He also pointed out that the decline in the Bakken is because of significant production curtailments in the basin. The Energy Information Administration forecasts a normalization in July. All operators active in the Permian, analyzed by Mercer, had year-over-year stock price declines. Pioneer and Parsley were the best performers, down 37% and 44% respectively. Concho stock, while down 50%, still outperformed the broader E&P index, which is down 52%. Centennial Resource Producing suffered the worst performance, down 88% year over year, though its stock has rebounded significantly since its low in early April, he said. Already, two Permian operators, Sable Permian and Lillis Energy, have filed for bankruptcy, and Barry said more Permian bankruptcies are likely coming. Looking ahead to a more normal operating environment, Barry said, quote, companies need to thoughtfully assess what, if any, activity makes sense now. While commodity prices are up significantly from recent lows, they are still lower than what most companies need to profitably drill new wells. End quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 12th, 2020. China, a Surprising Market Leader by Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Quote from the Wall Street Journal. optimism has spurred mainland Chinese stocks to multi-year highs in recent days, with the Shanghai Composite rising 16.5% over 8 straight sessions of gains. It is important to watch the market, not the news on the markets. China has been in the news for all the wrong reasons. It is the suspected world center of the COVID virus. It has cracked down on Hong Kong dissent and arrested protesters. It has been fighting India along their border. Finally, we can throw in taunts in the South China Sea against the navies of Vietnam, Japan, and the U.S. Who would want to invest in that situation? Apparently, quite a few. Understand one would be chasing a vertical rise since the March 23rd low. China Fund CHN is up from $16 to $25. The Shanghai Index soared from 2006 to 2008, 1,500 to 5,500, then crashing back to 1,700. A smaller rise in 2014 took it from 2,000 to 5,000, then back to 2,500. It hit 3,450 Thursday and looks ready to assault 5,000 once again. Emerging markets are challenging to trade. As reported, the U.S. has been in a two-tier market. The SPX, major market, and DJIA have trended sideways this summer since a June 8th high. From a June low of 9,800, the NASD 100 has soared to 10,754. This is powered by the mania for the FANG stocks, not to mention Tesla. Tesla is now valued at more than the combined total of GM, Ford, Toyota, and Fiat Chrysler. This is way more extreme than the China example cited earlier. One cannot be sure TSLA is really profitable. Such is the exuberance of investors at market highs. Banks will report earnings this next week. Cullen Frost CFR has moved from $95 to $50 to $87 and now $66. Book value is $61. Prices are still falling and are below all four moving averages I track. We will be alert for a potential bottom. After 45 days of consolidation, the industrials may bottom during the remainder of July. Typically, there is a seasonal rally into August. Check our web blog for updates. Energy shares have pulled back from their June 8th high as well. West Texas Intermediate fell below $40 mark. Energy has been the worst performer this year. Social mood veers negative again. We suspect the Democrats will come to regret the Supreme Court decision allowing Cyrus Vance access to Trump's tax returns. It cuts both ways. The Biden family has plenty of potential for subpoena fishing between Joe, his brother, and son Hunter. As if there were not enough reason to decline to run for office, this puts all future presidents subject to endless fishing expeditions. Dennis Elam's blog is www.themarketperspective.com. Good news for the economy. The Economist, M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. In the midst of the pandemic's ongoing fallout, there was a bit of very good news for the economy earlier this month that, as with so many other things, did not get the attention it should have or would have in different times. The United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA, has now officially gone into effect. It has taken years to negotiate and ratify the agreement among the three nations, which updates and replaces the 1994 North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. The USMCA, while not perfect, is essential to ensuring the efficient functioning and ongoing economic integration of North America. It also offers improvements ranging from better protection of intellectual property to enhanced labor standards. Trade with Canada and Mexico is vital to the economy. In 2019, the U.S. exported about $292.6 billion in goods to Canada and imported $319.4 billion. Exports to Mexico for 2019 were $256.6 billion, while imports totaled $358 billion. Subjecting these trade volumes to tariffs and additional inefficiencies would have a pronounced negative effect on the economies of all three nations and greatly diminish the competitiveness of North America in global markets. The supply chains of the three countries are inextricably linked, with many items crossing borders multiple times during the production process. Imposing layers of tariffs on these goods would eliminate our cost advantages. To estimate the benefits of reaching a free trade agreement, we compared a scenario with the USMCA in place to one where the U.S., Canada, and Mexico trade under the terms of the listed tariffs with the World Trade Organization, the default situation if NAFTA was abandoned. For the United States, we estimate that having the USMCA in place leads to an additional $64.9 billion in gross product and almost 600,900 jobs compared to trading under the terms that would otherwise be in place, including multiplier effects. As a major exporting state accounting for over 20% of the national total in 2019, Texas would see substantial benefits. Key goods exported to Mexico and Canada include computers and electronic products, petroleum products, chemicals, transportation equipment, machinery, and electrical equipment. We estimate that for Texas, annual gross product will be a projected $17.6 billion higher and employment 164,700 higher under the USMCA. These effects far exceed those in any other state. For California, the second most impacted state, the USMCA will likely lead to a $6.2 billion boost in gross product and almost 58,700 jobs. A no-deal situation would have been a major step backward. In the midst of the current situation, there are many short-term challenges and impediments to international commerce that transcend accords. Looking ahead, however, USMCA is a vital and indeed essential component of our ultimate economic resurgence. Be safe.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, July 12th, 2020. RRC, top eight Permian counties produced 51.29% of Texas oil in April. Midland County again dominated production inside Texas with more than 13.7 million barrels during the month of April. The Railroad Commission of Texas released preliminary statistics in late June that showed Midland County accounted for 13.07% of the 104.81 million barrels produced across the state. Midland and neighbor Martin County were the two top producing counties, combining for more than 22 million barrels, or 21.62% of the oil produced. All total, there were eight counties from the Permian Basin inside the top 10. The other six are Reeves, Howard, Upton, Loving, Reagan, and Glasscock. The eight accounted for 53.76 million barrels, or 51.29% of the oil produced in the state in April. In April 2019, the preliminary production of crude oil was 98.9 million barrels. The updated total was 126.85 million barrels. Reeves County again dominated the production of gas and condensate. The 74.547 million MCF produced in April dominated Webb and Midland counties, which totaled 49.10 million MCF and 40.28 million MCF, respectively. The RRC reported 747.706 million MCF of gas was produced during the entire month. In April 2019, the preliminary number was 680.22 million MCF. The updated total was 826.651 million MCF. RRC, Midland Region, accounts for 59.9% of drilling permits. The Midland District was tops in June when it came to drilling permits, new oil completions, and new gas completions, according to the Railroad Commission of Texas. The RRC reported the region 8A accounted for 59.9% of the 262 drilling permits in the state. The 157 in the Midland District was 134 more than the San Angelo District. The number of drilling permits did reverse the trend of falling permit totals in the region. In May, that total had fallen to 122. Across the state, the number of new permits rose from 208 in May to 262 in June. The Midland District also accounted for 55.8% of the 963 new oil completions. The district's 538 completions were 383 more than the Refugio area district. The 147 new gas completions were 43.2% of the 340 new gas completions around the state. According to the state, the RRC reported issuing 312 original drilling permits in June, compared to 1,001 in June 2019. The June total included 262 permits to drill new oil or gas wells, 3 to re-enter plugged well bores, and 21 for recompletions of existing well bores. The breakdown of well types for original drilling permits in June 2020 is 72 oil, 24 gas, 187 oil or gas, 24 injection, and 5 others. In June 2020, Commission staff processed 1,031 oil, 371 gas, and 60 injection completions for new drills, reentries, and recompletions. Total well completions processed for 2020 year-to-date for new drills, reentries, and recompletions are 7,930, compared to 5,050 recorded during the same period in 2019.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 80 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-80s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 90s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 80s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Midland-Odessa.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 12th, 2020. Life and Times. Stay ahead of skin cancer with early detection. By Levi Stone, RN, MSN, Chief Nursing Officer. Whether it's lounging by the pool, working in the garden, or watching kids play in the front yard, we find ourselves spending more time outside, soaking in the sunshine. While the sun's rays have their share of health benefits, they can also create a few troubles as well. Taking a few minutes to routinely check your skin can literally be a lifesaver. According to the American Academy of Dermatology, skin cancer is the most common cancer in the United States, impacting 1 in 5 Americans during their lifetime. While many types of skin cancers are curable, one type, melanoma, can be deadly if not caught promptly. Working with a dermatologist to know your spots can help establish the early detection and subsequent treatments necessary to keep the odds in your favor. It's also as easy as A, B, C, D, E. A for asymmetry. Spots with irregular borders are more concerning, opposed to those with a round and symmetrical appearance. Imagine drawing a line in the middle of the spot. If one half doesn't match the other, it's a good indication the spot is asymmetrical and should be reported immediately to your dermatologist for further review and assessment. B is for borders. The borders on spots and moles should be smooth and even. Melanomas often tend to be more uneven, with edges having a scalloped or notched presentation. Best rule of thumb, smooth and round is good. Anything else is bad and needs to be checked more closely. C represents color. Benign moles tend to be one color and are most often brown. However,